all.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you, Mark.
Our program will be in two parts. I'm going to introduce myself, and then John and Carol will share with you what God has laid on their hearts. I joined the Navy on February 14, 1936, which was my birthday, and I note that Howard Davis joined the Navy on his birthday. I find myself in the same place that many of you were, but our paths didn't cross at that time. Louis Lindenmeyer was in Iceland at Pearl Harbor, and so was I. I was on a transport, and he was on another ship. Joyce Hightower was in Washington, and Dick worked with Abram Brady. How many of you know Abram Brady? Many of us do. I used to be on his letterhead as his assistant during the late 40s. A dear man of God. And I shared this at the table with some at one table. It's a cute story about Abram Brady. And if you know him, you can identify with it easily, because he was a man that wanted to know your name. And he forgot it as easily as you and I do, but he never hesitated to ask you. If he'd just seen you last week, he would always ask you if he didn't remember, I forget what your name is, you know. And he was walking down the street in New York, and he saw this man coming toward him, and he recognized him immediately, but he couldn't get the name. And he got even with him, he rushed up and says, "I'm Abram Brady. What is your name again?" The man said, "My name is Albert Einstein." The Lord saved me in San Diego in October 1937, and I shipped out of San Diego immediately after the war started in Europe on an old four-stack destroyer, 458 USS Alec, and went to the neutrality patrol in the Atlantic, and that's how I happened to be in Iceland, on Pearl Harbor. I served on one of the newer destroyers after that, and then went to this transport on which I was in Iceland, and from there to the South Pacific, and stayed with the fleet until we got back to the Philippines. I got a commission in the meantime. It was transferred to the AKA 5 USS Fomalhaut. I went to Washington at the end of the war, and was there until 1950. I went with Admiral Cooper as his administrative officer to Paris, France, to head up the international planning team for NATO. And I went from there to Naples with Admiral Carney to set up the Southern Command. I was special assistant to Admiral Carney, and when he became chief of naval operation, I served a full term with him in the Pentagon as his secretary for Joint Chief of Staff Matters. And then when he left, well, Admiral Arleigh Burke came in, and I served with him for a period of time, transferred to San Diego as the flag secretary for the U.S. Amphibious Training Command under Admiral Stelter, where I retired in 1957. So I started in San Diego, and I retired in San Diego. That's a resume of my Navy career. And now I'm going to turn it over to John and Carol, and they will share with you at this time.
And I'm turning it over to Carol.
You have to get...
Okay, my name for the last 51 years has been Carol Streeter. We're glad to be here, primarily. We're glad to be here, but especially glad since you heard of the hurricane in Florida, and we were supposed to fly Monday from Fort Myers, but as the hurricane became worse and came closer, we realized that the flight would probably be canceled. So we decided we should try to fly from Tampa. Our daughter-in-law phoned, because we couldn't get through, to see if we could get reservations from Tampa, and we could, so we drove up to Tampa, spent the night with them, and here we are. I was born the eldest of seven children in Washington, D.C. My parents surrendered their life to the Lord when I was about 8 years old, and soon thereafter, I remember signing a blank sheet of paper and giving my life to the Lord. I can't help crying when I see some people smiling. Some of the people who influenced my early life are L.L. Lecters. And I don't know whether you know him or not. You probably do because he was connected with Wycliffe. Edith Dreyer and her parents, who are missionaries with the CIM. In fact, Edith Dreyer prayed that one of my family would become a missionary in China. So I guess I was the answer to her prayer. My teen years were spent in Europe until I enrolled at Wheaton College. There I met my future husband and Virginia over there. And became acquainted with the Navigator program and the little black notebooks. In fact, Dawson and a group including Kenny Waters stayed at our home when they came to speak at the Wheaton College Chapel. We were graduated in June of 41 and married in August. And as a matter of fact, two of our wedding hymns have been played today, Greatest Thy Faithfulness and the one that Al just played, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, and he has. After our honeymoon, until February of 1942, we worked with the Navigators, supported by Charles Fuller. We visited military bases east of the Mississippi, contacting men who had written to Charles Fuller, and then the names were given to the Navigators. In fact, Ginny tells me that she had a lot to do with those letters in the office. John contacted men individually or as a group, and some met in our trailer, and I made tea and served them toasted cheese sandwiches. And we've liked tea and toasted cheese sandwiches ever since. Several sailors were in our car on December the 7th, 1941, in Norfolk, Virginia. We were on our way to an evangelistic meeting when the word came over the radio that what had happened at Pearl Harbor, and they had to report back to their base. Our last place to visit on this tour was Great Lakes Naval Station, I think. Then John was commissioned as an ensign, came down with pneumonia, and when he recovered from that, he was stationed out at Treasure Island. And I joined him in Oakland 1 month before our oldest son was born, and I just happened to be looking in one of the logs, and there's the picture of our oldest son when he was about 6 weeks old. Also a picture of Idella and Chelsea and several other people, John Newman and John Streeter, sitting side by side, I was amazed. And I found the answer to the question about Muriel Paulson, right here's her wedding. Okay, sorry for the interruption. During our years in Oakland, our home was open to the NAVs and service people, nurses, and many other friends. As many of you know, Pat Locasmo led a Bible study for nurses in Oakland, and Marge had the nurses over in San Francisco. Sometimes they got together, as this picture will show. Some of the people that passed through our home at that time were the Locasmos, Tift and Grace. In fact, I think they may have met there. John and Idella Newman, Marina Downing, I remember her being there very vividly. Bill and Margie Gould, Ashby and Marge Challey, John and Althora Schwab, they met in our home. Taggart and Muriel. In fact, Muriel wore my wedding dress when they got married, and I just happened to read about their wedding here. Virginia Chamberlain tells me she was in my home when I wasn't there. We were in San Diego at that time for 3 months, and several people came and stayed with Pat Locasmo. In October, from October 44 to 45, John was overseas on the Lexington. One of my favorite verses, and I'm going to quote it, I'm going to read it rather, from the New International Version with a few changes, is, you will keep in perfect peace she whose mind is steadfast because she trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. I say this is one of my favorite verses because I have many. But this one was especially real at the time when John went overseas. We had a son, another one, a son on the way. We didn't know it was a son in those days. And a son who was born January of 45 at Merritt Hospital that you heard about from Grace. And two of the Christian nurses were on duty that night. Word of David's birth. John heard of David's birth through United Press. The radio operator came to him and said, the last thing I got over the air before it went off was that Lieutenant John Streeter had a son born in David Warren, born in Oakland, California, mother and son doing well. So he got it real fast. After the war, we went to Chinese language school at UC Berkeley for 6 months, and then to China with team. We went first to northwest China and were 40 miles from Xi'an. Most of you have heard of Xi'an and the terracotta army that's been discovered since we were there. We were there a little over a year. During that time, our third child, a girl, was born. 3 months later, we evacuated because of the communists were in the area. I won't go into those details. That would take forever. And we went down to West China, 40 miles west of Chengdu. We were there until we left in 51. The communists took over in the Chengdu area in December of 41. However, before that happened, our mission board... 49, sorry. Thank you. Before that, our mission board had said we should follow the Lord's leading. We could go or we could stay. Well, one of my friends, missionary friends, said to me, I'm not afraid, but I'm leaving. My reply was, I am afraid, but we're staying. Again, the verse, and I won't quote it again, Isaiah 26:3 proved true, as it has many, many times through the years. I should add that our six-year-old son, he had gone to Guling, which was a CIM missionary school for missionary children. He had gone there, and he was there under the communists 3 months. Was it 3 months or 5 months before we came under the communists? Yeah, I think it was. He was there 5 months before we came under the communists, and for 3 months we hadn't heard from him, and we had to communicate from his school to Hong Kong and Hong Kong to Chengdu. While we were under the communists, a daughter was born in 1950. And in December of 50, our son, who had been away at school, got back to us. And in January of 51, we had to again leave, because not because we wanted to, but because we knew that it was no longer feasible or safe for the Chinese for us to be there. So we put in to leave and left our station the beginning of January for Chengdu, and in October we finally got permission to leave China, and that was another long story. We arrived in Hong Kong and finally at Wheaton, Illinois, in time for Christmas. Then followed a year. John worked with the Billy Graham Crusade, doing follow-up work and some setting up of crusades, I think I said, for a year. During that time, no, excuse me, that would have been terrible. and then we served 31 years in the pastorate. Now I can say during that time. During that time, we had 3 more children. You can see why I didn't want to say that during 1 year. and I'm only going to talk about my side of the story. During that time, I served as pastor's wife, you know, 2 for the price of 1. Went back to university to get a teaching credential when the 2 younger children were in junior high and high school, and a master's degree. And I did substitute teaching in languages. Then the last job I had was I'm directing a daycare and preschool for Indochinese refugee children in San Francisco while their parents were studying English and job skills. All my staff were Asians, and except the teacher. The preschool teacher was Asian American. The others were all refugees. I don't know if I said I did that for 4 years, but anyway. Then, all through the years, I would like to mention that our home was open to young people, to Christian workers, and to many other people. In October, it will be 8 years since we moved to Florida. And again, Isaiah 26:3 proved very precious and very true when John had his stroke in 1987. I'm not limited to one verse, but I want to emphasize that particular one. Throughout all the various illnesses, traumas, trials, as well as the joys, God has been faithful. I'm glad that Howard Davis mentioned today, or I think it was today, the gifts. Also, you've heard of T.J. Bach, the director of TEAM, which was our mission, and he used to say, "Don't forget, one of the gifts is helpfulness." It has been a joy to me in later years to receive letters from various people telling of help they had received along the way, spiritual and otherwise. To God be the glory. Okay, a final resume. We have 7 children. 11 living grandchildren and one who lives 6 hours and is in heaven. In spite of the heartache, we know that he is safe in the arms of Jesus. And I know I have my point of view is, as hard as it is for a child to die, I think it's wonderful because you know that they're safe and you're not always sure about all the others. However, we do trust that they will all be there. On the back table, there are a few copies of Power for Living with an article written by Dave McCaslin, who interviewed John for several hours in our home in Florida. Some of you already have it, but I think there are about 10 there, and if you want them, feel free. Thank you. John will be next.
A lot was left out by my beloved. Y'all will forgive me. I've always been chicken-hearted, but since I had my stroke, one of the characteristics of stroke victims is they cry easily. So please don't feel sorry for me when I cry. Just pray that I can get over it and won't waste my time crying instead of talking.
You still got feelings?
Got too much. I graduated from high school in Lakeland, Florida in 1932. The Depression was depressing. There was no money for college. We'd lost everything. And I couldn't even make enough to pay my share of expenses at home, so I said to my mother and dad, I think I'll join the Navy, save my money, and come out, and then I'll go to college. I persuaded them, and off I went. I'd been in the Navy about 2 years, going the way of most sailors. When I went to church, the little Methodist church over in San Pedro, which was part of my background of going to church. Going to church didn't interfere with my riotous living, you know, I just went to church too. But I met a returned missionary there who beamed in on me and told me about Milo F. Jameson's day-by-day Bible studies. And I had gone in the Navy with the intention of saving my money and coming out, going to the university and on to law school. So I thought, well, knowing the Bible would be a great advantage standing up before a jury and quoting some scripts, you know, would help me win the case, maybe. So I started in studying my Bible with no recognition of need, but as I followed Milo Jameson's little outlines, I, of course, found things I'd never heard of before. Make a long story short, I went to the same Mr. Young had told me about University Bible Club's conference up at UCLA in March 1935, and there I went and was really converted, turned over, new direction. I went back to the ship. My vocabulary changed, my habits changed. It was great. Men began to ask me, you know, as far as I know, there were no other Christians on the Mississippi at that time. But men would see me sitting around reading my Bible, and they'd say, what's happened to you? What are you going to do, be a preacher? I said, I don't know, but I know something's happened that's real. I went back ashore and found this missionary again, and I said, how in the world can I show them how to have the same experience?
I'd like to say a little something, and I came from an abusive family, and I have, there were two separations in my family. My father, I was abused by both my mother and my father, and my father came one time and visited Seattle, and I have no idea, but sometime before he visited, I was talking with the Lord one day, and I said, and you'll forgive me, sometimes I'm not too pleasant when I talk to the Lord, and I was quite cross with him, and I said, I expressed to him, I really didn't understand why he couldn't forgive my father when I had, which was a very funny expression, but it was a frustrating thing. Why can't you forgive my father if I'm forgiving him? Why can't you? And I was thinking, a few weeks later, my father came to visit, and the family was all there, and they got ready to leave, and my father came up the driveway, and he put his arms around me. Well, he hugged me. I understood that he meant that he realized that he was wrong. And now my father made a confession. It's a little different than people might think, but it's the same thing. I understood. Which was interesting because before he had done that, already God had done this work. You can see it yourself. The forgiveness was already there before he ever came to me and said that, before I saw that he had said that. Now my mother, on the other hand, never made any gesture whatsoever toward me as far as any kind of repentance or any kind of thought at all. And yet, when my mother died, I knew my mother had died. I was coming out of a class, and I was driving down the freeway, coming home, and all of a sudden there was this scroll that came through the sky toward me. It was like a scroll. And on the scroll were things that were so terrible and so hateful and so human words can't explain the feeling of those lively things. They were alive when they were on this scroll. And they came toward me. I was driving the car on the freeway. And they were coming toward me. And I raised my arm. Went like this because it was about to make an impact here. And I knew that if it entered into me, that I would never be free from that hate. If the hate was beyond that word, it was way beyond that word. I don't know how to describe this word. You can't do it in English. Despicable, ugly, hateful things. And they were alive. So when I raised my arm like this, it was deflected. And they went away somewhere. I don't know where it went. It didn't come in here. I feel that as my mother was dying, that God delivered her. And I feel that God delivered me. So now, I thank you for your confession. I thank the navigator for the fact of the honesty that's difficult sometimes. For your wife, have to suffer this kind of thing and yet also recognizing that you suffer the most when you can't let go. You have to find a way to be released from it. So I thank God already for the work that he's done because he is faithful. If you're confessing, when we confess our iniquities, he is faithful to forgive us and he cleanses us and he restores. And it's been brought out here, everything that the canker worm and the palm worm, everything has been taken away. And I know that everybody here joins me, and we love you, and we thank God that he could bring the heart to confession, because it's the first step, toward the reconciliation of all things that God has declared.
Let me respond, Kim. I respond to you. There was nothing violent. I punished the children severely, more severely than I probably should have. I could defend it. But I have the best of relationships with Bruce and Kathleen and all of my children. It couldn't be better. And I want you to know that when you pray. I've never loved Laura Lee as much in my life. And we've never had as good of a relationship. From my perspective, she speaks for herself, than we have right now. We're on cloud nine. We're living happily from day to day.
But I have confessed what it was like in God's sight, I believe.
Well, we appreciate it much, and I think what we're going to remember and be challenged by, that you've grown more the last 5 years than in a corresponding time in your life. Ken, come on up for the... And while Ken's coming up, we will have one final item of here after this session. It will be short. And we've got a sheet up here for the haves and the have-nots. And we're going to transportation. So we'd like the people that have not transportation and need it, the local people are willing to take somebody at the airport tomorrow to meet up here and we'll work out the details.
Jim, I want to repeat what's been said. Thank you very much. I hope if we have another meeting that you and Marina are on the docket a little bit more. I can have more. I think we should hear a review of your conversion early days when you were skipper in the latter days and all that kind of stuff. We haven't heard that. And I think that should be a requirement. Hello. You don't have any ears? Like this? Okay. Anyway, I think it should be a requirement. Have another time that we have you on a schedule, not just organizing us, but...
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Now, yeah, how many we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, Howard, you're here?
Yes.
Okay, I thought maybe... Are we all here?
Yeah.
I thought it would be a good idea to get a count, so maybe we have some kind of percentage-wise, and that might... reflect over into other people who aren't here. I mean, we might get some kind of proportion, but let's assume then we have 36 here. That'd be good. Everything else being equal, you have time, you had... how many here would like to have another meeting like this sometime? Hold your hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. You aren't going to make it? Well, that's two-thirds of us.
It's a want.
And I think there are other people who aren't here who would raise their hand at this occasion. And a lot depends upon whether there's another Northwest meeting and that type of thing. I think even if we had 24 here, we'd have a good cozy time and in the Lord and so forth. Next one is, let's just go to the time. As a guy said, my age, but I don't even buy green bananas, so I don't know if we want to. Seems like 3 years is quite a while. How many would say 1 year? How many would say 2 years? How many would say three? Okay, I guess two has it. I know. Let alone three, you know. So we're not expecting to come back from heaven. So. The next idea is where? How many say here? I don't know. Why have an alternative? Everybody wants it.
Anything else would be a breakup.
Are there any alternatives? Are there any... viable alternatives that would be comparable. Seems to me, I don't know where we would go to. It's quite certainly quite central in the West. You folks coming from the East, though, it's...
That's the cost of being a minority.
Yeah. We love you Easterners. Well, Jim, I think we should have a get-together here 2 years from now at the Glen.
Who do I turn the list over?
Okay. You think you can... you only be 81? You're in your prime? Can somebody run it here, you think?
If there's no alternative, you know, I'll keep with it. But I'm also in Colorado, and I would be willing to help.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, Floyd.
Is there a possibility that some that are not here now because they went to the one earlier this year might also be here?
I think so. I think if there isn't a Northwest meeting... like it was in close proximity. I think we have several coming down. Do you think so?
Oh, I think so. I mean, they've always been here.
Yeah.
I volunteer my services for any kind of mailing or addressing or anything like that that I can do to help the people.
Okay. I suppose if you kept the list, you might as well have it from here, but in other words, you're thinking maybe turn the whole list over to somebody and have them work from there.
Whatever works out the most effective.
Okay. I guess since it's in your hands, I guess you have to negotiate that or something. I'd certainly like to be in another meeting like this.
Some of us feel a need.
So... we'll see what 2 years brings forth. it'd be very interesting, won't it? Yeah, very interesting.
More than this one?
Okay. I just feel like thanking the Lord again. Somebody else want to come and thank the Lord? That's good. You're going to close it up, aren't you, or something? But Father, we thank you. How wonderful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We look at the past, but by looking at the past, we certainly look at the future. Lord, you're with us. We thank you for the encouragement we get from you and from each other. Thank you for this time. Thank you for Jim who organized it. Thank you for the facilities we have, which are so wonderful. Thank you for those who served us when we were here, in the dining room, and all these other things we need. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon them. May they receive joy for their work. We thank you for watching over us in transportation. This is the TIFF's testimony, getting them here. Lord, you are a worker of details. In fact, you don't know what... There is no detail with you. Father, we just want to praise you. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, James.
And for Joyce, too, on her trip.
Before the new translations messed it up, 2nd and 3rd John used to say that there's a lot of other things that I want, but it's not done. Therefore, these are often called, as you know, the unfinished epistles. And the way we're ending this conference, it seemed like there's a sense of being unfinished. But I think you will really be inspired by the meeting tonight. And I would suggest that tomorrow morning the people around your table have a final word of prayer before you break up. And we'll let that be the finish and not leave you feeling quite so unfinished. Okay, the have and have-nots, if you meet up here, then the rest of you, over to dinner.